This is the Morning Magazine for June 20th of 2022. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Thank you for joining me here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, we'll feature a long-form interview Black Talk host Michelle Simpson recorded last year with Miss Opal Lee. Lee is known as the grandmother of Juneteenth due to decades of advocacy calling for the recognition of Juneteenth as a national holiday. Michelle Simpson spoke with her just weeks before the Biden administration announced that starting in 2021, Juneteenth would indeed be a federally recognized holiday. At the bottom of the hour, we'll hear the BBC News headlines and the latest commentary from Jim Hightower. After that comes good old CU with Joe Juhasz. Then at 9 a.m., we'll bring you Counterspin, a look at fairness and accuracy in reporting. After that, Carrie Wolfson will be in the Boulder studio for the Morning Sound Alternative. No headlines this morning, but a quick weather update. The National Weather Service forecasts sunny skies with a high of 90 degrees today, breezy with a south wind of 10 to 15 miles per hour, becoming west-northwest in the afternoon. Winds could gust as high as 21 miles per hour. Tonight, we're looking at a low of 56. We go now to our Juneteenth special. Michelle Simpson interviews Miss Opal Lee, the grandmother of Juneteenth.
My name is Michelle Simpson, and I have just the honor and privilege of introducing our very special guest today, Miss Opal Lee, also known as the grandmother of Juneteenth. So who better to take us through this journey of how we got from there to here in terms of Juneteenth? So Miss Opal, thank you again for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely. So can we start at the beginning? I wanted to ask you, what are some of the early events and experiences that helped to shape you, that brought you here from point A to this point we are now? What are some of those experiences that come to mind for you?
Well, I guess I would begin with having to spend summers on my grandparents' farm in Texarkana, Arkansas.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. My grandfather was a minister who had churches in several different places. I guess you'd call him an itinerant minister. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so my grandmother really ran this 40-acre farm, you understand?
But she had her 40 acres.
Really?
Well, no, I'm asking. She had her 40 acres. Did she have a mule too?
No, she had mules, but with other horses and all that kind of good stuff.
Okay.
But they had 40 acres in Texarkana and 40 acres in Ben Lomond. Mm-hmm. And I've always wanted to know how they got it, because my grandfather was not a slave, but his father was a slave.
Okay.
Well, I say my grandfather was somebody who saw what others had, and he wanted it for his family and his community. I remember when I was extremely small about him talking about golf courses and tennis courts and indoor plumbing and things of that nature.
Right.
Well, I guess it's in my DNA, because the other thing is my grandparents had 19 children, three sets of twins. That's my mom's family. And my grandpa would bring somebody to my grandmother and say, "Matsy, find him some food, give him something to wear, put him to work," you know? Mm-hmm. And then he passed that on to my mother. When she married and moved to Marshall, Texas, he'd tell her, "I'm sending those girls up there, you give them a place to stay, help them till they can get on their feet." And so that's what my mom did. And so I'm saying that it's just in my DNA, mm-hmm, to help and to get things started, because he was a little powerhouse. When in Marshall, Texas, we would go to the fairground for Juneteenth, and it was just like Christmas.
Oh, wow.
They had the sack races and the baseball games and the food and the music, you know?
Uh-huh.
Oh, did we enjoy it? It was a festival. When I got to Fort Worth, not so much, until I became involved in the Tarrant County Black Historical and Genealogical Society. Mm-hmm. And we put on a Juneteenth at a little tiny Sycamore Park. 30,000 people in a 3-day period, 10,000 people a day.
Oh my God.
I've tried and I've not been able to do it since. But if I tell you we had a festival, we had a festival.
Oh, it sounds like it.
And the park's supposed to close at 10 o'clock. And of course, all they did was to pull a plug and the lights were out. Why do you think I got on this big truck and got up there and turned those lights back on and the festival? We had festival a while.
I love that. I love that. Well, Miss Opal, let me fill in a few things because I love this background and we're coming right back to it. But okay. I just want to say a few things about you so that our listeners have some sense of different pieces of your journey. And this is one big piece of it that you're sharing with us, but some other things. I want to make certain we get a chance to fit these in. So when I think about, again, how you got here, as I understand it, that after you got married and having 4 children, you then earned your bachelor's degree. I understand that you also taught elementary school for 15 years. And you taught during the day, but it seems, at least based on what I've read, that at nights you worked at what we now call Lockheed Martin. And you did this to support your children. And then you didn't stop there. So then you later earned your master's degree in counseling and guidance. And you served as home school counselor for the Fort Worth, Texas Independent School District. And then the rumor is you retired. However, retiring seemed to permit you with more time and an opportunity to just kind of deepen the depth and breadth of your involvement in the Fort Worth community. And again, based on what I think I know, you assisted the economically disadvantaged to find housing. You volunteered at Habitat for Humanity. You went on Habitat's acquisition board or land acquisition board. And you and a partner helped to establish, and we just talked about this, the Tarrant County Black Historical and Genealogical Society. You've dedicated time to AIDS outreach. You've been a precinct chair, member of the Grandmothers Club. You're an active member in your church. Let's give a shout out to Baker Chapel AME, where you serve as a missionary, church school teacher, assistant teacher, and deaconess. Now, if that isn't enough, you received Fort Worth's 2021 Hospitality Award. And so I'm going to ask you, what did I forget or fail to include? Because I'm telling you, I'm exhausted now. But what did I fail to include?
Well, I was going to a food bank, taking food to people who couldn't go there themselves. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that food bank burned. And with a few other people, we started another food bank, and I noticed a building behind my house, and I asked, and the owners were selling it for $1.3 million. I asked for the food bank, and they leased it to us for $4,000 a month, and I had a hemorrhage, because I didn't know where we were going to come up with any $4,000
a month. Money.
But we did. For 11 months. And the 12th month, when we didn't have the money for the lease, mm-hmm. the owners came to us and said that they thought we were doing a good job in the neighborhood, and they gave us that $1.3 million facility.
Oh, boy. So,
well, I polled people who were standing in line waiting for food, and we serviced like 500 folk a day. I'm retired from that, but I polled people standing in line, and 66 of those folks said that they were willing to farm.
Okay.
And I asked the water district, and they gave me the use of about 13 acres of land on the river, and we have Opal's Farm.
And I love
it's fantastic.
That.
We've got produce. We've got the best farm manager in the land. And he takes that to market on Saturday, and it's doing really well. I'm so proud of it.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's dive into Juneteenth a little bit more, because I'm guessing that we have a number of KGNU listeners out there who have no idea what Juneteenth is or how it came about. Can you fill us in a bit on the history? You were starting to do that. So can you fill us in a bit more on the history?
I thought you'd never ask.
Oh, well, I'm right here. I'm right here for it.
What the young folk need to know, and you know, I always say anybody under 94 is a young person, okay?
Okay.
They need to know is that a General Gordon Granger made his way to Texas.
And that was Galveston, right?
Yeah, Galveston, Texas, with maybe 6,000-7,000 Black troops. And he had this general order number 3 that he read that said the enslaved were free. Now, I don't know how many places he mentioned it to, but he nailed it to the door of what's now Reedy Chapel African Methodist Episcopal Church. And when the people came in from their labor and somebody read that general order to them, we started celebrating, and we've been celebrating ever since.
Now, this particular thing, this particular order, though, and what makes Juneteenth, I think, so kind of interesting or intriguing to many, and for those who are not putting it together, Juneteenth is that combined word for June and 19th.
Okay? Yes.
Let me say that. But when we think about this, it took 2.5 years.
Yes, it did.
For enslaved Black folks in Texas to learn about their statutory freedom. And there are a lot of stories around why that happened or how that happened. What's your version of the story?
Well, for one thing, you need to know that on New Year's Eve, the enslaved, and we still have what's called watch night services.
Right. I'm familiar with it.
Watching and waiting for freedom, you know? Mm-hmm. We've had the stories about somebody coming after Abraham Lincoln gave the Emancipation Proclamation, somebody coming on a mule to bring the news got killed. Other reasons are that the plantation owners knew it and the enslaved knew it. People coming from other places, they knew it. But they were waiting because there had to be some enforcement.
You couldn't
walk off that plantation, okay? And so when they did learn about it, I mean, the plantation owners were so mad and upset because this was their way of life.
Right.
And you were disturbing it. And they even whipped people who were celebrating their freedom. But when we got our freedom, we had, for us with Juneteenth, with the art department, the children were given 12 freedoms gained. Now there were more, but the children were told about 12 freedoms. You could name yourself. Your children weren't taken from you.
Got it.
You could buy some property. Mm-hmm. You could serve in the legislature. You could do so many things. Now, I got to get into the fact that there's more to Juneteenth than a festival. I just want them to know that none of us are free until we're all free.
Absolutely.
And the fact that the people in Texas learned of their freedom doesn't mean that everybody was free, because it took Indian tribes until 1866 to release their slaves. It took a while longer for people to get free. And when they did, they left looking for their children, for their sisters and their brothers, and they migrated north. We had all kinds of things to happen on the way, but around Galveston and Houston, some of the men bought land and they called it Emancipation Park. I think that's still going on in Houston, Texas. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So anyone who's just tuning in, I want to let you know that you're listening to KGNU. And my name is Michelle Simpson. And we are talking to the fabulous Miss Opal Lee, AKA the grandmother of Juneteenth. And she is telling us about her experiences with Juneteenth. And again, what Juneteenth means and what it should mean to us and the entire country. Let me ask you a bit more because, you know, I'm listening to you tell us about, again, your early experience as a young person, as a child, essentially, with Juneteenth and how you were introduced to the Juneteenth celebration and what it felt like and what it looked like, and I'm sure what it smelled like with all that good food. So I'm wondering, though, what is it, Miss Opal, what is it about Juneteenth that has continued to capture your imagination, your energy, and your passion? Because I mentioned a little while ago at the beginning that there's been this kind of crazy rumor out there that you retired some time ago, but I'm wondering about that. And instead of putting your feet up, you put your feet on the pavement and made your way to Washington, D.C. to campaign to make Juneteenth a national holiday. So what is it about Juneteenth that has so captured, again, your spirit, your heart, to continue kind of carrying the banner for Juneteenth and not just campaigning to make it a national holiday, but to keep it alive?
Oh, really? I began thinking about, and I was about 89, that people my age didn't have to sit and rock and wait for the Lord to come and give them. In fact, I think he's going to have to catch me. I thought there was more that we could do and that we could pass on to the young people. Mm-hmm. And I felt like that if all the groups, all the nationalities would get together, we could do something about the disparities that that's in our land right now. Mm-hmm. And it affects us all. I mean, I bet you everybody's aware that this virus has affected us all.
Absolutely.
They need to know that decent housing affects us all, mm-hmm. and we all need decent housing. They need to know that a fella needs to be paid the same thing for the same job. You know, we need to address joblessness and homelessness, and everybody needs a decent place to stay. And climate change, there's so many disparities that if we work together, we can eradicate. And so I'm wanting people to understand that more can be done working together. And Juneteenth, I see, is the bridge that takes us over and where we can begin to come together.
Do you feel that, again, your efforts and the reception you've received from others around this campaign to make Juneteenth a national holiday, do you think it has anything to do, and I'm asking because I don't know, anything to do with you being both Black and female?
I'm not sure if I've ever considered that, because all I know is that this is not a Black thing. Juneteenth is not a Black thing. There are so many other people who were involved in it. I mean, the foot man who had his foot on your neck when you were enslaved, he's got to be released from that. And I keep saying, if people have been taught to hate, they can be taught to love. So I want people to, number one, know it's not a Texas thing. I want them to know it's not a Black thing. I want them to know that freedom is for all of us. freedom is for all of us. None of us are free until we're all free.
Let's get to my favorite topic when it comes to Juneteenth. Let's talk about the food, because that is my favorite topic, hands down. And one of the things that I know about Juneteenth, just from celebrations I've attended, and my last Juneteenth was in Baltimore, because I have a lot of family in Baltimore. I live here in Denver, but a lot of my family's in Baltimore. And I know that red drinks are very popular.
Red soda?
Yes, soda pop. Yeah. So tell us something about kind of the red stuff, because I know you gave my colleague and friend, you gave him a recipe, and I'm kind of jealous. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
No. Oh, in that day and time, you know, you didn't have the Cokes and the this, that, and the other, but right. You had red soda water and watermelon. Oh, those were two items, a part of Juneteenth, regardless. I have you know. And still, I've got a bottle on display. My house is like an old museum. It's got so much stuff in it. But red soda and watermelon, potato salad, barbecue, ham, lamb, chicken, anything that's edible, you'd have Juneteenth. Greens and peas and, oh, pies and cakes and peach cobbler. I tell you, I'd start watering at the mouth if I keep eating.
You could have stopped right at greens. You had me at greens, but because that's my favorite. You know, is my favorite.
So we're raising them on the farm. Oh, turnip greens, we're raising on the farm.
Oh, I'm sure.
They're big.
I am sure. So, you know, when you talk about being younger and what Juneteenth felt like and the experience and the delight, and when you talk about it now, you talk about it in that same, you know, that same way in many respects. And there are a lot of similarities. What do you think about this idea of expressing joy as an act of resistance? How does that land for you?
Well, I'm telling you, I'd rather be or rather think joyful thoughts than to be burdened with things that are depressing. I mean, if you seem to be joyful, then the person you're talking to or the person you meet or the person you come in contact with, they may too join you in being joyful. I think we've got to lift things up. I don't know how to express it, but if we are down in the dumps, that's not going to help the situation at all. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We've simply got to be forward thinking, joyful. Let's get the job done. Hey, over here. I don't know you from Adam's off ox, but can you join me in doing this? Now, I'm advocating that each of us should be a committee of one. We work with people that we know are not on the same page with us. We go to church with people. We in clubs with people that are not on the same page. And it's up to us to change their minds. And I don't think you're going to do it in a week or two. It's going to take time. When they see you and what you are accomplishing, they're going to try that same thing. So again, each of us should be responsible for changing people's minds. And I continue to say, if people have been taught to hate, they can be taught to love. And that's what this is all about.
Miss Opal Lee, this has made my whole year, seriously. It is, you know, I've been hearing about you for a long time. I've been kind of reading articles about you, and I kept thinking, who is this Miss Opal Lee?
And now, little old lady in tennis shoes getting in everybody else's business. That's who she is.
You know what? You keep it up. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so much. And I thank you.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me, girl. Please.
Absolutely.
What you just heard was a 2021 interview Black Talk host Michelle Simpson recorded with Miss Opal Lee, the grandmother of Juneteenth. Miss Lee is opening a museum in Fort Worth, Texas. This has just been announced that she'll be opening a museum on land she owns in Fort Worth, Texas. And there is more information about that at nationaljuneteenthmuseum.org. Up next is the Hightower Lowdown with Jim Hightower, and then we have Good Old CU with Joe Uhas. If you'd like to make a comment on something you heard on KGNU, you can give us a call at 303-449-4885. We play those messages back on Tuesday mornings during the Morning Magazine. I've been your host today, Shannon Young. Stay tuned for the BBC News headlines.